So, Mark, terrorism has very recently become synonymous with Islamic extremism in particular. But does the far-right movement in Australia have a history of terrorist acts themselves?
Yes, they do, Sam. Whilst this recent arrest of Mr. Galea under this particular legislation was the first time this legislation's been applied to a far-right example of terrorism, in the past, far-right terrorists or extremists have been arrested for more traditional murder, attempted murder charges and so forth.
And Philip Galea has been linked to the anti-immigration group Reclaim Australia. What place in society, should be the place in society for such groups?
Well, this group, like many others, if you peruse their materials, they're highly offensive, and they cannot form part of any moderate discussion. They're not moderate in their views. The evidence that they bring to bear is skewed, and again, if you peruse, or if your listeners peruse most of these websites, they're full of bile and venom about those that they dismiss as being legitimate members of society.
What effect do groups like this have on people who may not necessarily be involved with their activities?
Well, it's like any extremist group, there's usually a continuum. And if we apply that continuum in the terms of religion, for instance, you mentioned the recent equation of terrorism with Islamic terrorism. Of course, Islamic terrorism, if you like, I mean, that term itself is skewed, is those that inhabit the furthest reaches of that particular worldview. People can be fundamentalists, they can be sometimes even very right-wing in their views, but so long as they keep their views to themselves and respect the propensity for others to express similar views without then taking it to the furthest reaches and enact violence, it's part of a democratic freedom of speech.
And how does the popularity of conservative politicians and parties in Australia affect white nationalist groups and groups like that?
Well, unfortunately, we haven't seen some of them, those more notable ones who inhabit that space, come out and really categorically reject what has occurred in this instance. As we know, we see many politicians, even last year, during the height of the refugee crisis in Europe, we had Andrew Fraser, the national member for Coffs Harbour, come out and say that we should halt Muslim immigration, a la Trump. But what we haven't seen with these groups, and with some other incidents that have been occurring underneath the radar, we haven't seen a rejection of those views. For instance, over here in Perth, we've had just recently a mosque and a school attacked, and a vehicle completely burnt to the ground, another vehicle burnt to the ground when people were inside the mosque at prayer. By any stretch of the imagination, this is a potential act that could have killed people, and it should also be similarly viewed within the vein of these extremist right-wing positions.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking to Dr. Mark Briskey from Curtin University. And Mark, does the success of overseas parties like the Marine Le Pen's National Front and the UK Independence Party resonate with Australian feelings as well?
Well, with certain Australians, certainly it does. With everything, the UKIP and Marine Le Pen, there are certainly people who subscribe to those views and feed off of it. We've also had in the media in the last week reports of that German far-right groups are feeding off Australia's immigration policy. So there's this borrow and snatch policy from many of the far-right groups that look to different like-minded groups around the world. Last year we had Geert Wilders come to Australia to add his support to a far-right group.
So what's really, in your opinion, what's motivating this sort of global move we're seeing for a lot of these nationalist and anti-immigration groups to really grow in popularity?
Well, popularity, I'm not completely
convinced. Or vocalist, maybe.
Vocal. Well, certainly the immigration issue is one of the biggest single issues that's driving their vocal responses in Europe and in Australia. We've seen politicians, regrettably, feel this the negative side of this debate. I mentioned Andrew Fraser, but we have the views of everyone from George Christensen to Pauline Hanson and others who were weighing in on this populist bandwagon.
So then, in your opinion, do politicians need to do more to denounce far-right groups or at least not endorse these opinions?
Certainly. Politicians need to be representative, have a mature, inclusive view that does not divide society. Politicians are elected to support the sovereignty of the country, the unity of the country, and these views do anything but that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Mark, to help explain a bit about it.
Thank you very much, Sam.